I'd like to read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19 tonight. Luke's Gospel chapter 19. Verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, or could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Interesting as we open up our Bibles to understand that this is a book that has touched, or certainly recorded and revealed, the dealings of God with not a few. This is a book of account concerning people who heard the gospel, who understood their need, who longed to know their sins forgiven, and who one day experienced the wondrous presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to Luke chapter 19, we find that here's a man on the Word of God tells us some very interesting details concerning this man's life. It tells us enough to make us aware of life before the tree. Luke 19 certainly centers on the experience at the tree. And as he leaves, comes down from the boughs of that tree, the Word of God tells us some of the events that happened after the tree. This man's life was changed. A man's home was altered. His future was not only secure, but it was radically altered. And if you had gone to Jericho that day, I'm sure that you would never have thought that that day would be a day of salvation for a man called Zacchaeus. Interesting, when we look at God's dealings with not a few people, that sometimes those that you expect would respond to God's offer of mercy are not the ones that do. In fact, through this final trip through Jericho, two men that were saved that day were likely two unlikely candidates. If you had to pick two people from Jericho that possibly would have gotten saved that day, it was not likely that you would have spoken of Zacchaeus, and not very likely would you have brought up the name of Bartimaeus, the poor beggar. But that day, those two individuals were delivered from wrath to come. Their night was turned to day, and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What I notice in Luke chapter 19, in the early part of this chapter, is that here was a man and there were some definite turning points in his experience. And I'd like to speak of three of these turning points. We find that all of our lives, somewhere along the line, have turns in the road. Some of them seem so insignificant at the time. It's been said that some very large doors hang on some very small hinges. And when we look at the turning points of life, we find that most of them occur during the normal events of our everyday schedule. And I think that when we come to Luke chapter 19, it was just another day. Don't read that it was a holiday. Don't read that it was a day off. This was just another normal day. And yet this turning point in this man's life was to change his eternity. And tonight, as we come to the end of another Thursday, just another Thursday in the month of March, but we have already prayed that this might be a turning point in your life. It was for Zacchaeus. It wasn't just another day. When we come to turning points, we find that sometimes they come very suddenly and unexpectedly. We plan one thing, but something else comes up. And instead of following what we had planned to do, we take this route. And we look back and we are amazed at how suddenly and unexpectedly that moment came. Turning points in our lives many times impact the lives of others. They affect others. And I'm sure that you can understand that what we have read in Luke 19, that news must have spread through Jericho like wildfire. As they saw a man going with Jesus, and his home was changed, and a man's life was changed, Jericho would never be the same again. You know, when a person comes to know the Savior, when God's salvation becomes a reality, all things become new and everything changes. And those changes invariably impact others. I had told you before, maybe I'll tell you tomorrow night, for I intend to tell my testimony, because on Saturday will be my 28th birthday. 28 years ago, the 6th of March was the greatest turning point of my life, when the Lord Jesus Christ became my Savior, when my eternal future was altered with wondrous blessing. But I do recall when my older brother came home, he had been saved by the grace of God, and what had happened to him had a tremendous impact upon me. I'm looking at individuals here tonight, and many of your lives have been affected by others. You've seen the reality of God's salvation maybe in a family member, maybe in a neighbor, maybe in a friend. Someone has come along your pathway, and you have seen reality. Mind you, they're not perfect, but they are forgiven, and they belong to Christ, and they do have a joy and a peace that you haven't found. And this turning point in Zacchaeus' life had a tremendous impact upon others. And those changes that turning points bring many times surprise others. They are overwhelmed. When I think of these critical moments, these turning points in Zacchaeus' life, one of the earliest turning points that Luke 19 brings before us concerns the moment when he decided to seek the Savior. A day came when he said, "I must see him." We're not told all that much about this man's past life, but we do understand that he was rich. This man was a tax collector, and from what we understand of the taxation system in that time, it was very, very corrupt. There were men that used to have the overseership of a tax district, and they could charge whatever they want. They could fleece the people for their own advantage. And here's a man, though he was a Jew, yet he was taxing fellow Jews. He was a despised Jew. But this man saw to it that his pockets became full. And with riches come everything that riches can buy. This man climbed the social ladder. This man climbed the economic scale. This man could buy anything and everything. But as we come to Luke 19, we find that here's a man, and he really wasn't satisfied. He hadn't found what he'd been looking for. Riches hadn't made him happy. In fact, it's been said that money will buy everything but happiness. And money will take you everywhere in this world except heaven. And as this man began to weigh it up, I can't help but think, maybe not so, but I just can't help but think that possibly he heard the news of Levi's salvation, a fellow tax collector, a man who had been sitting at his little booth there collecting taxes when the Lord Jesus came along his way and said, "Levi, follow me." The man's life was altered and changed. A man's soul was saved. And no doubt, or perhaps Zacchaeus maybe even talked with him. But no doubt Zacchaeus understood the reality that was linked with the name of Christ. And in this man's soul there came a desire for something more than what he had. Is it possible that I'm speaking to some here tonight? Whatever you have followed in life has not brought you peace. It has not brought you the forgiveness of your sins. It has not brought you the purpose and happiness that you really have been seeking for. This world is a very sad world. It's a very tragic age. There are people that set out in the course of life and they think that this will bring them happiness. And they pursue it. And they reach out to get it and it breaks in their hands like a bubble. And they turn from one bubble to the other, seeking something to satisfy. By the time they finally come to where Zacchaeus was, they begin to understand the emptiness of life and the hopelessness of eternity and the weight of the bondage of their guilt and sin. But what strikes me about Luke chapter 19 is not just the fact that Zacchaeus knew his need, but it's the fact that he came to a moment where he said, "I am not willing to stay the way I am." I'm sure I'm speaking to individuals here tonight, and you know your need. You know that you should be saved. You know that you're on the wrong road. You know that if you continue on that road, you'll be lost forever. But sadly, you have never come to a moment when you're willing to turn from that road. When you've been willing to say, "I've had enough." Zacchaeus came to this point where he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And as he heard of the coming of the Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He did the only thing he could do. He pulled down the blind in his office, put this closed sign out, closed his taxation books, and he set off down the road to get to Christ. It was a turning point. And I trust there might be somebody here that has come to this meeting and you have resolved in the honesty of your heart, "I must get to Christ." Because, friends, your need can only be met in the Lord Jesus. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. In him is life. And the life was the light of man. He himself could say, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And here's a man, and he came to a moment, a turning point, when he says, "I must get to Christ. I must get the salvation of my soul." I wonder, have you ever come to that place? When everything else was put to one side, when you resolved, nothing would stand in your way, there was resolve to seek Jesus. But as this man goes down the road, you'll understand from the reading that he came to another obstacle. He came to the obstacle of the crowd. And as this man tried to peer over the crowd to see Jesus, he found he was unable because he was little of stature. He was a short man. And possibly as he tried to get through that crowd, that as well was in vain. Couldn't do it. And the moment came when he had to make a choice. He could have said in the stillness of his heart, well, at least I tried. And it hasn't worked out, so I guess I'll just go back to the office and open up business again. Here was a man who came to a turning point in his pursuit. And wonderfully, this man decided that he was not going to be hindered by any obstacle by the crowd. I've already told you this man had an internal problem, a physical ailment, physical hindrance. And tonight, as you approach God's salvation, as you seek the Lord, as you seek the salvation of your soul, there is the tremendous inner problem of your sin, of your pride, of your independence of God. And linked with that inner problem is the outward problem. There is a world around tonight that is not user-friendly or is not gospel-friendly. This world that's all around us is a world that will resist anyone moving to Christ. Any person that has ever come to the awareness of their sin and desires God's salvation will invariably come against resistance. Behind it is the enemy of men's souls. And here's a man who came to a turning point where he was hindered by the crowd. Yet where he decided that the crowd was not going to hinder him any longer. We watch as a man gathers his robes about him and he begins to run. Could I tell you tonight that if you are going to get to heaven, you're going to have to run for it. A half-hearted interest in God's salvation will never bring salvation to you. Too many people would like to be saved someday, but not right now. Too many people would like to be in heaven, but they're enjoying the pursuits of this world with all of its sin. Too many people, they long to have their sins forgiven, but they don't want to part with the crowd. I recall hearing of a young woman who had come to a gospel tent meeting. I'm not sure if it was her first meeting or she had been a number of times, but as she heard the gospel, God spoke to her soul. She was deeply convinced and convicted of her sin. And as the meeting came to a close, her boyfriend, who was right alongside of her, got up, and without even realizing that his girlfriend wasn't following him, he just turned and went down the aisle of the tent. And he was just shaking hands with the preacher when he turned around, and he realized that his girlfriend wasn't there. And then he looked back. And he saw her sitting over there in her seat with her head down. And he knew what she was thinking. And she just happened to look up at that moment and their eyes just met. Without saying a word, she understood that what he was saying is, "All right, my dear, if you want this, go ahead. But you'll understand that it's the end of our relationship. It's either this or it's me." And as that young woman sized it up very quickly, salvation or a boyfriend? God's heaven or possible marriage? Eternal happiness or a life of companionship? She got up. Came down the aisle, shook hands with the preacher, and that faithful man of God understood a little of what was going on, and with tender and kind words, he spoke to that young woman, urging her to settle the issue. She shook his hand and passed out. Her boyfriend is waiting just outside, and he says, "No, I don't want to hinder you. She says, no, I've made my choice. And she says, don't ever speak to me about this again. Hindered by the crowd? I wonder, like, what's hindering you from coming to Christ? What is keeping you from settling the great issue of your eternal destiny? Is it possible there are people here and you're saying, give me just a little longer? For the world looks now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. Here's a man, and this turning point was decisive. He would let nothing stand in his way. And that man ran down that road and climbed up into that tree just so he might be able to see the Savior. Wonder tonight, friend, what are you willing to do to get to Christ? Could I tell you tonight that it's not a matter that God is asking you to do anything, but He must come first. Unless salvation is the greatest priority and the greatest desire of your life, you will just keep on drifting. Zacchaeus let nothing stop him. He climbed a tree. And he watched as the Savior came that way. Ah, but there was another turning point. What a wondrous moment. It was the moment that he was confronted by the Savior. And as that large crowd stopped that day and the Lord Jesus at the foot of that tree looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. This man had to make a choice. Just put yourself into Zacchaeus' place. Zacchaeus, he knows my name. You see, that call was a call of exposure. Whether that man had pulled the leaves around him or not, I'm not sure, but this call exposed him. And I wonder tonight, friend, whether you are unwilling to have dealings with God and to make your interest and your desire and your concern known. We all like the limelight, but very few like the searchlight. When God's searchlight is placed upon our souls, and when we understand and we're willing to acknowledge that we are the sinner and that we need the Savior, and that salvation is our greatest need. This was a call of exposure, but this was a call of confession. He didn't come down to negotiate. He didn't come down to work out a deal. This man came down with all of his need. He came just the way he was, a crooked, sinful man. Didn't try to doctor himself up. Didn't try to make himself any better than what he was. He was guilty. He was vile. He was deceitful. He was a thief. He was the despised tax collector of Jericho. And yet the call came to him one day, Zacchaeus, come down. It was a humbling call. And tonight, the same call is coming to you. You're going to have to come down in your estimation of yourself. You're going to have to come down with regard to your pride. You're going to have to come down with regard to your time frame. Too many people are trying to dictate to God. Here's a man, and he simply responded to the Savior's call, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. It was a call that was met by acceptance. He did exactly what the Lord Jesus did. It was a call of wondrous reception. Side by side, the two, the Savior and the sinner, went off to his house. The Lord said that man's life was eternally altered. For you see, he had received the Lord Jesus, and the seeking shepherd and the seeking Savior had found the wandering sinner. He closes this passage with those wonderful words, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. I trust tonight as the gospel is further preached, this might be a turning point in your experience. Like Zacchaeus, you might have dealings with the God of salvation, that nothing would stand in your way, and that you might receive Him. He desires to save your soul. He desires to change your life. He desires to surround your eternal future with all of His blessings. Because the Son of Man is come, and He's come for this purpose. He's come to seek, and He's come to save that which is lost.